All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. Thanks for joining us here. Tim, how you doing?
I'm doing good, John. I'm doing great. How you doing?
A little tired. Did the Hawks game last night, but fun game. Obviously, they got just shellacked because every game I call, they lose. They lost 4-0 to the Anaheim Ducks. Terrible game for the Hawks. Really, really bad. But they beat them 7-2 last week, and then they just come out and do that. A couple good fights. Tenorti fought Ross Johnson. And Vlasic fought Dylan Strome and a couple other things.
Ryan Strome.
Are they brothers?
They are, yeah. I think. They don't look alike. They're brothers.
They're brothers. Anyways, so I'm a little tired. That's okay. We can work past that. It's Friday. Excited. Get to the weekend. Thanks for joining us, everybody. I appreciate your support. You want to jump right into it, Tim, or is there some stuff you want to talk about?
I just want to acknowledge, like I said before the show, today is 2 years since I got Levi. The 2 year gotcha day, which is a big deal. And
Levi is his girlfriend.
Yeah, it's the dog.
So that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah. I gave him steak and eggs for breakfast this morning. And
you did not.
I did. Yep. Yep. And we're going to get a nice big bone after work and celebrate with that. So it's a good day.
Did he get you anything?
His love and affection every day.
I feel like you're on the short end of that stick. He's really getting steak and eggs and bones and good boy, good dog. I know Levi. I met him. Nice dog. Well, that's nice, Tim. Send us pictures. Yeah. The people would love to see you and him.
I posted on my page, yeah. So go follow me if you want to see it.
Okay, good. Well, actually, I have something I'd like to talk about. I wasn't going to bring it up, but I just thought of it now. Tipping culture, Tim. What's your percentage rate?
Tipping, it's out of control. Like, there's a lot of tipping on retail now. Like, I check out a convenience store and they'll ask for a tip. Not 7-Eleven, but like those like privately owned small ones.
Yeah.
I don't tip on that. And then like, but I hate pressing no because I feel like the bad guy. Or you buy a gift card at a restaurant. Yeah, you buy a gift card from the receptionist at a restaurant or whatever. And there's no service provided, but I still feel like I hate being the guy that presses no tip. So.
Yeah, that happened to me this morning where I was getting a coffee, dropped my kids off, went to the coffee shop, which I have a gift card for. And the gift card gives me the cup. I go and fill up my coffee on my own. That's it. So she just hands me a cup. And then, of course, the tip prompt. 15, 20, 25%. I'm just like, are you bonkers? You did absolutely. And I know it's not the person's fault. It's just whatever is on the Apple AirPay or whatever. It's fine. I get it. But. Press zero. I'm like, you didn't do anything. I'm sorry. And then the week prior, I had bought the gift card. And so the gift card was for $25 and I tacked on a coffee. So it was $28 or whatever. And so the tip, 15% of 28 was a lot higher. And I gave a tip that time because I felt bad. So I was tipping on my $25 gift card.
Wait, you bought yourself a gift card?
Coffee cart, whatever it is, you know, because I send the kids in to get coffee. Oh, no. Yeah. And I don't want them to have my credit card. So I we'll pull up. I'll send the girls in. Go get me. I say a large black coffee, nothing in it. light roast. I don't like the dark roast. Well, I do like it, but lighter is better. I didn't know lighter was more caffeinated. Did you know that?
No, I don't know anything about coffee.
You should start drinking coffee. You're a little too mellow. I've had comments from listeners saying Tim needs to be more energetic.
That's not true. That's probably true, actually. I had I do energy drinks from time to time, but I don't want to pick up a coffee habit. If I've made it this far without it, why start now?
Does your girlfriend drink coffee?
No.
No, what does she drink?
Water. And wine.
Lots of wine.
Typical, right?
You want to talk about that?
No, let's talk about hockey.
For those of you, he did not correct me calling her his girlfriend. So that's big news. It's exciting. But the dog gets the bacon and eggs. All right. This episode is brought to you by Bet99. Tim, did you know that? Bet99 was voted the number one. It was voted the number one online gambling experience in Canada with same game day parlays, player props, flash bet markets. What does flash bet markets mean? You know?
If you have to ask, you can't afford it. AKA, I can't probably. I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, you can elevate your experience at Bet99 with all of these great perks. Today's pick, Tim, who's your pick today?
Jonathan Drouin. He has 9 points in his last 9 games, mostly assists. I think he's got 2 goals, but he's found some chemistry in the second line with Casey Middlestadt, their new center. And Drouin is currently centering their top power play, power play one, which is one of the best power plays in the NHL. It's like the 6th or 7th in the league. And I think they're going to be even better down the stretch. So he's a good pickup to pick up some cheap points if you want to bet on an underdog here. That's Drouin.
Do you remember? Oh, let's just finish the ad read. 19 plus, everybody, you have to be. You got to play responsibly. Available only in Canada and only if you're in Ontario. So Bet99 is built by Canadians, specifically Ontario Canadians, for Canadians, specifically Ontario Canadians. I'm sorry, Edmonton. You're not allowed to use Bet99. Anyways, back to the Avalanche. Do you remember at the beginning of the year you were all in on their castaways that they signed? The Thomas Tatars, the Jonathan Drouin, the Ryan Johansons, all these guys. You're like, oh, career years, all of them. They're just going to play with around the right group of people. How do you think it's gone for those players? Obviously, Johansson's not there. Tatar, I don't think, is there either. And Jonathan Drouin is still there. Having a okay season. What are your you want to reevaluate situation, Tim, or no?
There's not much more for me to say. You said, hey, Tim, this is what you said. Here's why you're wrong. Would you like to comment on it?
That's I didn't say that. Because you could defend that you're right. Because
that's what you said.
Well, no,
I think you're exaggerating my excitement a little bit.
Oh, you were very excited.
Yeah. I might have been excited, but I didn't have especially high hopes. It was just sort of like, oh, let's see what these guys can do. I think Drouin, was it Drouin or Tatar? I think it was Tatar that said, I said he was playing with top line talent for really the first time in his career. None of it worked out. Johansson, obviously the worst of all, and he's gone. So we're on to Casey Middlestadt. We're on to Drouin being on a hot streak, and we're on to the Colorado being my team in the West right now.
Yeah, goodness. Without this hot streak, Drouin had a pretty terrible season. He's got 41 points, but if you take away, 9? 31 points in 60-some games. No bueno. But hey, light at the end of the tunnel, right, Tim? You got to look forward. Don't live in the past. Anyways, moving on. Big update, Tim, in the standings. The teams that need to win seem to win. What's going on in the East here?
Yeah, it was a big game last night between Detroit and the New York Islanders. Mm-hmm. And kind of these teams, standings-wise, were neck and neck. They've been flipping back and forth for their second wild card spot on and off. And Islanders had won, I think, at some point 6 in a row a couple of weeks ago, last week. And the Detroit had lost a whole bunch in a row. We thought that it was finally the tide was turning. Here we are a week later, and the Islanders have lost 3 in a row. Detroit has won 2 in a row. They have their captain back, Dylan Larkin, who had 2 goals last night. The Islanders fall to 0-5-1 in their last 6. So it looks like it's going to be Detroit's spot to lose, more or less. However, the Capitals are still hanging on. 6-4 in their last 10, and they're right behind Detroit's percentage-wise. So it's going to be close. I think it's going to be between those two teams. I think the Islanders are pretty much have fallen out of contention for that wild card spot.
As a top team, whether it's the Bruins, Panthers, or Rangers, or Hurricanes, whoever ends up in that top seed in the Eastern Conference, who would you more prefer to play? Capitals or Red Wings?
I think Capitals. Yeah,
I agree. Although the Capitals seem to be playing really well, and the Red Wings rely on that top line pretty heavily. We saw what happens when Larkin wasn't there. They struggle quite a bit. Larkin's been back the last couple games, and the Red Wings have turned it on. So maybe you can show. I don't think they'll have a problem with either team, but I think maybe we're underselling the Capitals a little bit. They've had a pretty solid year. So maybe we have to give credit where credit is due, Tim. Or am I wrong?
Well, it's so strange because they're like bottom five in the league in every category that matters in terms of like 5-on-5 scoring and goals for and all this stuff. And yet they're in a playoff spot and it doesn't make any sense, but give them a lot of credit. And so I looked at the playoff odds this morning. This is, I think, moneypuck.com, and it's the odds to complete, finish in a playoff spot. Detroit's 40.4%. Washington's 38.2%. So this is basically, you know, even percentage-wise, 2 points off. And the Islanders fall down all the way to 9.9%. So they're 90% not going to make the playoffs. The other two teams, it's about 50-50 between the two of them, which one of them is going to grab that second spot. I think Tampa has cemented themselves. They're going to lock down the first one. I don't think they're catching Toronto for the third spot in the Atlantic. So it really is about Washington and Detroit at this point.
Okay. Question. I'm going to pose you a question here. It just came to me while we were talking about this. Islanders, we fast forward a month and they do not make the playoffs. They just miss out by a couple points. Toronto Flames out in the first round. Pittsburgh way, way behind everybody. Which GM gets fired first? Is it Lamoriello? Dubas maybe has a little more runway. Same with Trevealing. Is there another GM you think is on a hot seat bigger than Lou Lamoriello? I'm just wondering, when does Lou get fired? Because he did nothing at the deadline. He's done nothing. I guess he brings in Horvat. He brings in some people before the deadline, so that could count. When does he get fired? When does his rope finally run out? And they just say, enough is enough. He brought in Patrick Waugh. That seems to kind of maybe have worked, but they're still out of the playoffs. I don't know. Do you think there will come a day where he just retires, or do they have to fire him?
I think they'll have to fire him. I've never had that good of a radar for like when a coach's job is on the line or a GM or when they're about to be fired. I don't feel like I pick up on those things very well, but I have to think that Lamoriello's got to be, whether or not they miss the playoffs or even if they do, they're going to be a first round exit for sure. So I feel like he's got to be, his job's going to be on the line, especially since I think they go at least another year with Waugh. I think they like him and they like what he's doing, even though the team's not playing that much better. It could be a situation similar to Vancouver last year, and they bring in Tocchet midway through the year. It takes a few months to get the system and get the players going, and then the following year is when things start to click. I think that's the best case scenario for the Islanders. I don't think it's likely, but I think his job is more secure than Lamoriello's.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're right. He's got there in 2018, and he's made some pretty interesting signings and trades and this and that. Remember, he signed Barzal to a big deal. He signed Anders Lee to a very strange deal, 7 years, $7 million. He signs Ilya Sorokin to an 8-year deal, 8.25. He signs Bo Horvat after trading for him to 8 years, $8.5 million. Very strange acquisitions. And it goes back to even when he was with the New Jersey Devils. He just signing Corey Schneider to a long-term deal when he was well past his prime. So I think everybody knows my thoughts on Lou Lamoriello. I think the game has passed him by. He really hit the sweet spot with the Devils, and he's been milking it ever since. Although he did, I'll give him some credit, and I don't know how much credit is due for him when he first got to the Islanders. They made some runs in the playoffs, Eastern Conference Finals, 2 years in a row, and that was under his tenure, so good for him. But I think a lot of that had to do with the previous GM doing a little bit of heavy lifting there, signing those guys, building that team, but he hasn't done much to change it since he's gotten there. No of no draft picks. Maybe, I guess, Pulock, maybe, is the one guy who stands out. He's a pretty good player. But I don't even know if he drafted him. So, I don't know, Tim. I think it's time. I think it's time to get some fresh blood in there and to really revamp that New York Islanders team. I just don't see it happening anytime soon. All right, what about the West, Tim? What's going on out in the Wild West?
The big story in the West is the Nashville Predators. They've won four straight. They won again last night, 8-0-2 in their last 10 games. This is kind of a fun story. I was reading about this on ESPN earlier, ESPN.com. I think most people by now have heard the story of, I want to say it was in February or early March, where they had just come out of the All-Star break. They were losing a bunch of games. They were scheduled to go to see U2 for a team trip in Vegas in the Sphere. And it was canceled like the morning of or the night before. and the players were pissed and all this stuff, and basically sending the message. At that point, they had lost 6 of 8 or something like that. They got blown out by Dallas and Nashville. In Nashville. And so they were basically saying, like, hey, you guys don't deserve this trip. A day after the trip was canceled, the morning after, the Predators finished a morning skate when one of the guys in the locker room played "I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For" by U2 in the room. Apparently, the whole room went crazy, thought it was hilarious, very, like, you know, on the nose and all that. Turned the guys around, did something for this group, because after that point, after this trip was canceled, the message was sent. They're 14-0-2. They have a 16-game point streak with 14 of those being wins, which is just, I had no, I knew they were playing well. I didn't realize it was this lights out. So kind of funny thing, the way that the personalities, you know, and stuff behind the closed doors can translate on the ice. This little thing, I think it's a great little story. And Nashville is just, they're killing it right now.
And it's not, you know, them feeding on the low-level teams. They're beating high-end teams, leaders in the Western Conference, and they're beating them decisively. You got Vegas 5-3. You got the LA Kings 4-1 who've been playing great. Avalanche 5-1. They just beat the Florida Panthers 3-0 last night. So they're beating really good teams. Franchise record, 16 games with a point in it. So good for them. And don't look now, Tim. We talked about this in shows past, but Philippe Forsberg, we haven't talked much about him. I picked him last year to have a breakout year to really take off. Him and Johansson and all these guys are really going to take the next step. Everybody thought him to continue the downtrend. They thought he was going to continue his downtrend based on last year. He's having a great season. I think he's got 37, 38 goals. He looks like he's having fun. He's playing carefree out there. And it shows. Maybe Ryan O'Reilly was that, you know, the straw that stirs the drink. I could see him putting that song on. I could see him relaxing the room. He seems like the type of guy who just gets it, when to lighten the mood, when to buckle down and, you know, focus and get upset. But when you got Forsberg and O'Reilly and you bring in Zucker, I really like him. And then you got a couple just really, really salt to the earth, hard nose, but also add a little bit of skill type players. And Anthony Beauvillier, Colton Sissons, I really like how he plays, but it's not like a great roster. It's not like they're outskilling teams. They're just playing really good hockey. Andrew Burnett, he might be the coach of the year. And I don't think he gets enough accolades. Obviously, he got gassed from Florida after getting in the golf cart after a couple too many pops. But good dude. I'm friends with him. I played with him in Minnesota. He let me stay at his house when I was training in Minnesota. Awesome guy. I know how he is. He's got the heartbeat of this team. He's the perfect coach for that area, for that team, for these players. He's a very relaxed coach. He's very detail oriented, but he also knows when to just buckle down and say, let's go to work. And if we do, you know, do our job, then we can have fun. Hence, they weren't doing their job. Cancel the YouTube concert. By the way, YouTube sucks. Am I wrong?
I like you too.
I
think the reason everyone hates him is that time that they put, they downloaded their song to their album to everyone with an iPhone.
Like, oh, 10, yeah, that's 10 right. Years ago. A terrible album.
It was a terrible album and it was a terrible marketing idea. I don't know why they thought that would be okay, but I like their older stuff. I like them. Yeah.
I think I don't want to get into politics. But anyways, this team has recipes for success. They could be a hard out. And when you have a goaltender like UC Saros, is the sky the limit for this team? Like, could you see them riding this wave at the end of the regular season to playoff success?
Yeah, the way things are shaking out, they're going to play either Vancouver or maybe Winnipeg or Colorado, depending on who wins the Central. I feel like Winnipeg and Vancouver, Nashville is a great upset candidate over either of those teams in the first round. I think they could beat. I think Winnipeg, they're square even with. I think they're just they're obviously not as good on paper as Vancouver by any stats, but Vancouver feels a little bit like a house of cards. Just makes me just a little bit nervous. And Nashville is doing things the right way, so I could see either of those teams being upset. I don't think they have a chance against Colorado, but I do think any of those teams would have a hard time getting Nashville out in a 7-game series.
Yeah, it's interesting. You really do. Like, do you want to play Vegas though? It's such a weird dynamic in the Western Conference now because teams are jockeying for seeds. You know, we're in the home stretch, so every team has around 12 to 14 games left, and you're watching the scoreboard. You're checking on where you're at in the standing because it changes every single night, whether the Jets, the Avalanche, or the Stars, they're all tied with 93 points in the Central. So any given night, one could be third, one could be first. Who knows what's going to happen? So who do you match up well with? Who do you want to see in the playoffs? If you're the Avalanche, Do you want to play the Winnipeg Jets? Do you want to travel up to Winnipeg every other game, or not every other game, but like two and one, and, you know, logging the minutes on that plane? That's tough. Or would you rather go to Dallas? Easy flight, maybe an easier team to play. That's kind of what I would like to do. If you're the Vancouver Canucks, do you want to fly all the way down to Vegas, or would you rather maybe stay in your own country, play the Edmonton Oilers? You're familiar with them. You know, you can handle that. So teams are going to start jockeying. It's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch, but there was no position that's solidified in this conference. I think the only two solid positions are the wildcard teams. I think Nashville and Vegas are there. I don't see St. Louis catching Vegas as bad as Vegas has been playing. St. Louis has been playing not equally as bad, but not doing anything to really scare the Vegas Golden Knights. So those two guys are the wild card. I think LA, Edmonton, and Vancouver will be, for the Pacific Division, the three teams. I know Vegas is only 2 points behind LA, but LA's been playing pretty solid hockey.
Is that a thing this time of year? Like, are guys checking, like, they, you know, after the game, are they checking their phones to see who else won, what the other teams did that night?
100%.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah. You want, like, it's so incredibly close. Like, the Central, they're tied 93 points. That's incredible. So it's going to be interesting on the final day of the season where these guys line up, because as a coach, you want to start scouting for your playoff matchup. You want to start sending guys to those arenas to find weaknesses, to find tendencies, and you can't do it. So it's interesting. Yeah. The West is a lot of fun. I know it's crazy for me to say that, but tell you what, so, it's going to be a bonkers first round.
So Nashville's been killing it. They're at 99.5% to make the playoffs. Vegas, even though they haven't been playing that great, the odds are still in their favor, 87.5. So most likely those two teams are going to nail down the wild card spots. But just behind them, St. Louis, 10.2%, Minnesota, 5.4%. So you could see something change in the next couple of, I would say next week or so. But most likely, I think we know what the first round, or at least who the eight teams are going to be, and then just a matter of where they finish and who plays who in the first round.
Speaking of first round, March Madness brackets, I filled one out yesterday. It's haphazardly. Did a little bit of research. First place, 150 teams. First day, 16 games. I nailed 14 of them, Tim. Didn't pick Kentucky, obviously, but feeling pretty good about myself.
Did you pick Michigan State over UNC?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Nice.
I got Michigan State going to the Final Four, I want to say. I can't remember, but yeah, I picked State. I had them losing, but then I did a little bit of research. Feelings are pretty good. So I have them going a long way. Speaking of House of Cards, that's the Tar Heels. Don't trust them.
Some of the games I've played here in Charlotte, like that one was. There's a whole bunch of games here at the Spectrum Center.
You should try to get tickets. They play tomorrow. State Tar Heels. That'd be great.
No, that was yesterday.
But I know they play again tomorrow. They stay in the same area for a couple games, and they move on after the, I think they're Sweet 16 or whatever it is. So yeah, there's more games tomorrow.
I don't follow that stuff that closely, but maybe I'll go. That'd be fun.
If you were on, let's see, probably Jansen's podcast, you could get tickets.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's a lot more fun than I am. Yeah, he would get just set
right up. You know who has a new podcast? Brian Boyle and Corey Schneider have a new one together. Two of them.
Okay. I will
sure you'll
check
be on it
out.
At some point.
No, I don't do that crap anymore. Why would I advertise for somebody else? No, thank you. Waste my time. All right, moving on. Speaking of bad news, another competition. This guy can't stop scoring. And every time he scores, I get DMs. I get death threats from you animals. Alex Ovechkin started the year perfectly. Struggled. 49 games. What, 8 goals or something? Just slogging along, not doing much. I was like, okay, he finally, the age caught up to him. He must have got an extra dose of something at the All-Star break, because he's playing fantastic. He has 15 goals in his last 22 games, 5 goals in his last 3. And these aren't empty netters. These are good goals. There was a funny clip the other day, Tim. Did you see this about Strom? Speaking of Strom brothers, 2-on-1 playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs D-man literally slides right beside Alex Ovechkin to give Dylan Strom a breakaway. Strom not even thinking about shooting. Passes it through the D-man's stick to an Alex Ovechkin who's on the side. Still a hard angle. He does score, so it saves the play. But my, oh my. Do you think that's a thing in the locker room? Players getting together and going, oh, you know, we got to get this guy some goals. Because I hope it's not. Do you think it's a thing, though?
Yes, I do. I didn't. That was pretty egregious though. And I love it. I think it's great. I think it's hilarious and I think it's really funny and it's cool that they're trying to help him score. But that clip in particular, and go watch it if you haven't seen it, because it's like John said, Dylan Strome, the defenseman took out Ovechkin out of the play. And Dylan Strome has like 10 feet to go in front of the net. Nothing stopping him. He's basically got a little mini breakaway. And he waits and waits and waits. And you're in danger of the back checkers coming back and taking the puck away at that point. But he holds on just enough and he gets the pass through under the stick. And Ovi, like a bad angle shot, like you said. You know, like everyone's talking about this. They're force feeding him scoring opportunities. Credit for Ovechkin for scoring. And like you said, none of these goals are empty netters. Like he's scoring really, really good goals. And he's up to 23 on the year, just 49 goals away from tying the record. And John, I can read it on your face. I think you're getting a little bit nervous, a little bit harder to fall asleep at night. Do you want to address, you still have time to change your prediction.
Did you say just 49?
Yes.
Just 49.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
That's a lot of goals.
He's going to be 5 goals away. You're going to be like, just 5? Just 5?
No, I won't be just 5.
He's 40 years old.
Tim, 49 is a lot. If he was at 25, I'd go tap in. He's going to get it. 49 is a lot of goals. Do you know how many guys have 49 goals in the league right now? One. Auston Matthews. So for him to string together 49 over 2 seasons is a lot. He has 23 right now. And he's being force-fed the puck and getting a lot of puck luck. Let's be honest. And he is, like you said, 39 years old, slowing down a little bit. And he has said in the press that he wants to finish his career, in Russia. So, he's 38. He'll be 39 next year. But goodness gracious, good for him. I think it's great. I don't think he breaks the record. People think I hate him. I don't. I think he's a fantastic hockey player. I don't think he'll break the record. 49, just say it's 45 by the end of the year. He puts 4 in the next 14, maybe 5. So he's... just say 40-ish. It's doable over the next 2 years. I don't think he gets it, but good for him. It'll be fun to watch. It's quite the feat. I don't think he gets it. I'm sorry, Washington Capitals fans. Imagine if he has, like, he needs 12 and he finishes out his contract. Do you think he comes back for, you know, 1 year? He's 41, 42 years old and he decides, I need to get this, and he just can't get any goals, and he just is sitting there, and like there's 18-year-old kids buzzing around him, and then he just tarnishes and ruins his complete reputation.
No.
Or do they give him the Barry White, or what's that guy's name? The guy who got the sack record, Michael Strahan, where he hurt himself and then Brett Favre just laid down for him and he got the sack record. Do you think they would do that?
I don't think they're going to have to. I think what that example from Dylan Strome last night was perfectly just shows that this is a thing that's a team-wide campaign. This is not just what can Ovi do. It's like, what can we do as a team to get Ovi those goals? And he's going to lose his edge, obviously, in terms of speed, in terms of skating ability as he slows down. He's still got the wicked shot. They're still going to put him right in his zone in the power play. I think he's probably going to finish with at least 30 this year. I think he's going to continue this pace, which puts him around, you know, 40, 41, whatever. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. So this kind of takes me to my Tim's take of the day. With the roll up to win promotion with Tim Hortons, you can play on the Tim's app to win prizes, including a daily cash jackpot of $10,000, an all electric Volkswagen ID4, and a sun soaked Hilton getaway. Download the Tim's app. The contest goes until March 31st. My take today, not only is Alex Ovechkin going to break the record, he's going to do it next season. Next season. He's going to finish the year in the low 30s. I think he's going to continue this just excellent pace. And I don't see a scenario where he's going to fall like 10 or fewer goals short next year. I think that they'll basically like, they'll just force feed him the puck. And I think he'll get it. If he finishes around 40 goals short of the record, I think he scores 40 next year. I think that's what's going to happen.
Force feeding him this year, he's got 23 or 26, whatever it is. So.
Yeah, but he's finally got the pace going. Like, he's probably, something was wrong. Maybe he was nursing an injury we didn't know about, because he's scoring practically at will right now.
You're right.
So that's my Tim's take. I'm not budging on it.
Tim's terrible take. All right, moving on. I want to play a little game here, Tim. I saw it the other night when I was doing the Hawks game. I thought it was fun, and you came to mind. You pride yourself in being a hockey aficionado, stat master. You know everything, right? You surround yourself with hockey knowledge. And it just made me think, all right, how would Tim do in this game? So basically, I'm going to give you just players, high-end players. Everybody knows them. These aren't obscure, like, fourth liners in Arizona who have only played 12 games. No, these are stars. And I'm just asking you to tell me their number, their jersey number. Simple enough, right? Everybody's got a jersey number?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's go. I'm going to do softballs first, and then we'll get to a little more difficult one. So start with Nikita Kucherov.
86.
Nice. What about Artemi Panarin? We've already caught him. Stump the professional.
Yeah. Why am I blanking on this? I'll go
wrong.
What is it?
It's 10. Number 10.
10. Yeah. Okay.
It's a little more difficult than you thought, right? You think you would know his number.
On the spot too. Yeah.
Yeah. What about Leon Draisaitl?
He is 29.
Okay. All right. Austin Matthews?
34.
What about, let's move to the goalies a little bit. They're a little more tricky.
They are tricky. 30, yeah.
30-1. Those used to be the popular numbers. Not so much anymore. Goalies are getting creative. What about the best goalie on the planet? Connor Hellebuck.
35.
37. False. All right. What about just a guy with the Boston Bruins, Jeremy Swayman? The future.
One.
All right. One more, and then we'll move on. What's that? What's Linus Ullmark?
35.
Very good. Let's go. So your favorite players, the Hughes brothers, Jack Hughes.
Oh, geez. I'm not good with these. 11.
Oh, my goodness. 86. Quinn Hughes.
43.
Very good. What about Luke, the younger brother?
4.
43. Same as his older brother. You should know that. What about Roman Josi? We were just talking about the Nashville Predators.
Roman Josi. He's so good. Is he 4?
He's double digits in the 50s.
59. Damn.
59. All right. Now we'll go to maybe some friends of the show. What about Josh Morrissey, Winnipeg Jets?
Josh Morrissey.
44.
Victor this Hedman, is hard, Tappan. People.
Victor Hedman.
It's harder than I thought. Who? Hedman, 77.
All right. What about JT Miller?
20.
Number 9. Tim, I will say I'm a little underwhelmed. I thought you would do a lot better than this, but it was fun. Any of my numbers, you have to guess two of them. There's three total.
Yeah, 20, 28,
32. 20. Oh, I did have four numbers. You're right. I played 20 in San Jose. Okay. That was 36. In Minnesota. Very fun. How do you think you did? Good, bad? Mediocre?
I probably got 75%, right?
Yeah, I think that's about right. All right. That's fun. We'll do it again sometime. Did you like doing it, Tim?
Yeah, I have a trivia question for you. I'll save it for the very, very end, though.
Okay, I'm looking forward to it. Let's do some quick hits.
Yes, our quick hits are brought to you by DoorDash. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. Download the DoorDash app under promo code NATION25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms may apply. The Flyers played again last night. We were all kind of wondering who's in the lineup and who's out of it. Couturier was benched again last night. Reading a little bit about it, he's working with the coaches on specific stuff. I think probably the message has clearly been sent. I think, like we said, probably, you know, they were going to go until they lost, not mixed with a good thing. Couturier was out of the lineup. They lost to Carolina, so he's probably going to be overtime, back in, I would think.
In overtime. Yeah. So Carolina is the best team in the league right now, playing great. So don't assume just yet. But yeah, he should spill back into the lineup.
Yes, the next one here. Jake Allen has a 9.44 or better goals against or save percentage in his 4 starts with the Devils, which is a Devils franchise record for, which I guess is a franchise record for 4 games. We said the other day, we're talking about how good Timo Meier's been. He's basically been like as good since the coaching change as like the 3 months total before that, in terms of like 11 goals and 11 goals, something like that. Like you said the other day, it's too little too late for the Devils. They're not even in the mix for the playoffs at this point. Just too bad.
Yeah. What's actually pretty too bad is Jake Allen nixed a trade to go to the Devils earlier this season. He was on their no move list. So that's unfortunate. Imagine if they would have gotten him a few months prior, how different their season would have turned out. So good for Jake Allen.
Another one here. We just have to acknowledge this. Nikita Kucherov had 4 assists last night, including some of them are just absolutely brilliant. It feels like he's automatic. He has 15 points in his last 4 games. I just want to point that out.
Yeah, he's playing fantastic. Is he the MVP right now, or is it McDavid? He leads McDavid or McKinnon, sorry. Him or McKinnon. He leads McKinnon by 5 points now.
Yeah. Gosh, it's hard to... I want to say McKinnon, but it's hard to say that it's not Kucherov's trophy at this point.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. They're both playing fantastic. That'll be a good one. All right, let's get to this trivia question, Tim. What is it all about?
Okay, this is a stat that was tweeted out by Dom. I don't even know how to say his last name. Luchishkin, something like that. Mm-hmm. He's a podcaster, and he's really a stats guy. This is a graphic here with the list of defensemen from top to bottom with the leaders in the most difficult defensive minutes in the game. So this is one of those advanced stats that takes into account, like, defensive face-off zone starts and who you're match up against and those sort of things, penalty kills, all that. Who leads the league in the most difficult defensive minutes in the league?
Well, it's got to be a guy who gets a lot of minutes. So the minute munchers are Doughty and Seth Jones is up there, Roman Josi, those types of guys. So is it one of those three? No?
No, they're not even on the list. Doughty's way down, 20.
No. Oh, my goodness. For defensemen, minute munchers, difficult assignments.
He's been a friend of the show.
Oh, no kidding. Is it Zadorov?
Nope.
Is it Josh Morrissey?
Nope. Not even those guys aren't even on the list.
Is it Hedman?
No.
Is it Ryan McDonagh?
Nope.
Is it... I don't think of all the D-men we've had on the show. It's a D-man, correct?
Yeah, and he's someone we've talked about before. I'll just tell you, it's Mo Sider. And he was one, we talked about how good he was his rookie year, 50 points, and then I think this is his third season, and just he has not been as good statistically in terms of offense and in terms of, media attention, and no one's really talking about him too much outside of Detroit, but he's getting the very, very difficult starts. Him and Jake Walman are 1 and 2. And right behind them is Matheson, then William Borgen from Seattle, Colton Pareko, Alex Vlasic is 6, and so on down the line. But Mo Sider and Jake Walman, both 1 and 2 for Detroit, and they've just been so, so important. Walman produces a little bit of offense too, but I think it's a cool stat. That's just a show of how much they rely on him in tough situations.
Very good. That's good to know. Mo Sider, congrats. He's a huge part of that team, even though people think he's taking a step back. He's such a good. All right, very good, Tim. Anything else you want to share?
No. Anything going? How's the coop coming? You're working on that?
The weather's been garbage. I haven't had a chance to work on it at all. It snowed like 4 inches today, so I don't think I'll get to it this weekend. But yeah, it's labor love. I got to get out there and do it. But anyways, have a good weekend, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.